Hey listeners, I have another great episode for you. Just a heads up, this episode does have some content your children may not have heard before, so you may want to give it a listen before you share it with them. Thanks for listening. Hello, this is the Whole Home Podcast. I am Laura Letario, the host of the show. As you all probably know, Misty Harger, a dear friend of mine, and probably yours too, is the voice behind the beautiful intro-outro song of the podcast called You Are. She's also one of the co-founders of the music collective called The Family Room. If you would like to hear the whole You Are song and the rest of the songs from the same album, The Shepherd, The Table, The Home, I would like to announce that vinyl records are now available for purchase. Check out the link in the show notes and also follow Whole Home Podcast on Instagram to get a peek at Misty's live performance of You Are. And don't wait, grab yours now and support good music sprouted right in the soil of your own church family. Congrats, Misty. We love you so much. And now it's time to turn my attention to my very dear guest today. Deanna Williams is here with me to chat tonight. Hello, Deanna.
Hi, Laura. Oh, I have a frog in my throat. Oh, no, it's happening.
Hey, Deanna.
Hi.
Welcome to my basement. Thanks for coming down here in the middle of the week. And Deanna, we go back many years, almost a decade now, I would say. Is that right?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. It's like we've known you since before I was pregnant.
Yeah.
So that was at least 8 years ago.
So I was trying to remember if I was actually pregnant with Oliver or if I had just had him when I met you.
You were pregnant.
Yes. Okay.
Like your baby shower.
Yes. Yes. Woohoo. I told Ava that was the case. Anyways, so yeah, that was crazy because I was trying to think back to the time and I was like, that was a crazy hard year for me. Hormones big time after having Oliver, all the things. But hopefully you will share more of the story of how you got to Remnant in this episode. But before you do, staying true to form, I wanted to say a few words about you. Deanna, what first comes to mind is that you are particularly generous. You really notice people and you really aim to encourage people particular to them. You do what you can to make others feel seen and special. It doesn't matter how old they are. And I say this because of the many times you've thought of my kids and made a point to bless them with special foods, special activities that you plan just for them or engage them in conversation. And something else I enjoy about you is your fun personality. You love gathering people together and blessing them with fun and unique experiences, like eating miracle berries. Ask Deanna.
Totally not drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I should say that. And anyone can count on something happening in your home on any given week or month that deepens relationships, from baby showers, art shares, writer shares, ladies' nights, wedding showers, community gatherings, shared meals, and so much more. And I have to say, your cooking is off the chain. Kind of like Hogwarts, tables of food just seem to appear in abundance wherever you are because you labored and loved to bring it about. And your home is teeming with culture and life and love, and it is such a joy and honor to be your sister. And Ryan wants me to throw in there that you have a great sense of humor. He said he loved hearing you talk to Josh with an Indian accent. I don't know. I wasn't there. But now everybody knows. You're ready to laugh at any moment. And you have a beautiful smile that you share generously with everyone. So I love you so much.
Love you too. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you are ready to kind of dive in to your soil, we'll get started. But I think I'll just pray really quick at this point. So, dear Father, I just praise you. The scripture that kept coming to mind all day long is, this is the day that you have made, and to let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I thank you, Lord, that we can do that even tonight. And I thank you also for your scripture that tells us that you remember that we are dust, but you know our frame, Lord, and as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is your steadfast love towards those who fear you. And Lord, Deanna and I love you, and we're just thankful for your love tonight. Just help us to honor you and have a good time. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Deanna, first question is always the same. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hampton Roads, and if you don't know where that is, I'll just say Virginia Beach. But it's not really near Virginia Beach.
So this is the part that matters to me. Do you go through a tunnel?
To get to Hampton?
Uh-huh.
Not from Richmond, no.
Okay.
But from most other places, yes.
Yes, okay. So what was it like there? And why is it called Hampton Roads? That sounds extra fancy.
This is an audio-only podcast. I just made a very weird face. I don't know. I grew up on a street called Simple Farm Road, and it used to be a large farm in that area. There were very few houses on our street. So as a lot of big plots of land and like a little neighborhood, like right across the street from us. Yeah.
Is it similar now if you were to go back? Does it look the same?
A lot of people have sold their plots of land. So it's just highly developed. And our plot is the same. My dad like built the house we grew up in.
Whoa.
And they don't live there anymore, but wow. Live there all my life.
Why did he do that?
Sell it or build,
A house. That's amazing.
I grew up with my stepdad, and he's a contractor. He just builds houses for a living.
Okay, so he literally wasn't like, I think I'm just gonna build a house.
Oh yeah,
I feel like it.
That was his job, so it worked out.
All right. Yeah. Well, what did it look like?
It changed every 2 years.
Okay. Add-ons or whatnot?
Lots of add-ons and trying to keep up with the general aesthetics of the time. So our house was always under construction all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did it ever get to a point of finished?
Towards the end. Like right before we moved out. But it was my favorite part of the house was these really pretty skylights in the living room. And it's hard to explain because it was like a Mod Podge house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I kind of can relate. My dad did not build our house, but he was always adding on to the point where my parents sold their house, the house I grew up in last year. And Ryan and I were like, will you be able to sell it? Because it's just so, you know, hodgepodge random or whatever.
The floor might be like ripped out. So you might have just like the bare floor in the kitchen without the tile. But yeah, I mean, it all got done when, I mean, I don't know many contractors, but I feel like you always kind of work on your house last.
Yes.
Because you're working at everyone else's house.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So the land that you were on, was that something like, I don't know, I've talked to other ladies. Are you like a woman who loves land? Did that like affect you, or you're like, I got to get out of here. Give me the city.
Growing up, I was ready to go to the city because I couldn't walk anywhere because I was just on this road and you could just get hit by a car. There's no sidewalks where I was. And there wasn't anything really to walk to.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, yes, give me pavement. But now that I have kids, I'm like, okay. I need grass back in my life.
Which you're trying to make that happen right now, right?
Yes. We've been praying over it and just petting it and watering it.
Come on, babies.
Yes, please.
So does your family still live there?
They don't even live in Hampton anymore.
Okay.
They moved to North Carolina, but that was relatively recently, like 2 years ago they moved.
Alrighty. So who did you actually grow up?
In my household, I grew up with my... This is a bit weird. I have four parents, and they, my biological parents both marry different people.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say stepmom and stepdad, but I just all called them mom and dad. But for all the listeners at home, I will divvy it up. I grew up with my biological mom and my stepdad and my three other siblings. And then in the summer, my stepdad also had other children, and they would come and spend summers with us as well.
Okay. You never had a split time?
With my other family?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My biological dad and my bio dad and stepmom lived in Suffolk, which is about a little under an hour away. Mm-hmm. So I would go every other weekend and spend weekends with them and then be shuttled back and forth.
Every other?
Yes.
Okay. All your childhood?
Yes. Until about, you know, I'm a teenager and then he got up and moved and... You know, I'd stop seeing him as much.
What were drop-offs like?
My dad would come pick me up from home on a Friday night, and I would chat his ear off all the way to Suffolk. Mm-hmm. And it was a sweet time driving back and forth.
Okay. Let's see. Well, tell me about your mom then a little bit.
She's a bit of a mystery.
Okay.
Even though, like, I grew up with my mom all my life, she's very private. Wish I could say more. She's an amazing cook.
Mm-hmm. Did she teach you?
She kind of Miyagi'd me into learning how to cook. So it'd be like, hey, wash the chicken. It's like, okay. And then she'd do something like, oh, add seasoning to it. It's like, okay. It's like, okay, go put it in the oven. I'm like, okay. And then she would take it out, but I did most of it. And that was just how I learned to cook, like just growing up. Yeah, I don't know a lot of the things that she likes. She likes a clean house. She loves the smell of pine salt.
I can smell it now.
Yes.
Did she work from home? Did she work out of the home?
She worked out of the home as... So when I was younger, she worked in a hospital as a nurse and just taking care of people. And as I got older, like a private, like Riverside, like I help you with your paperwork, but still technically a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just... Worked nights when we were kids.
Okay.
And then as we got older, worked days.
Days, but worked nights. Okay, so when you were little, then you probably, you're saying you didn't really see her.
Yeah, so going to school a lot during the day. And then I have a little bit of memory of when, before my mom got married to my stepdad. And it was just my mom, my older sister, and me. And she would work... She would be home at the day, like sleeping, and then she'd work at night, and our neighbor would check up on us. And we like lived in this tiny little duplex condo area. Yeah.
Okay. Siblings came later. Help me. Because you said you had three?
Yes. So I have an older sister, then it's myself, a younger brother, and then my youngest baby sister.
Okay.
All from my mother.
So how old were you when she got remarried?
Pretty young, I would say. How old are you in first grade? Like... Six, seven.
Mm-hmm.
So before first grade, so I'll say probably around 6 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about when my dad got remarried too. What are your memories of Hampton? Is that where your condo was? Did you have to like move and life totally changed for you? Or were you still in like the same area, same school, and you're just living with a new dad with who had kids too, right?
Yeah. So my memory is very fuzzy as a child. I can only remember bits and spurts. So I've always, for the most part, remember living with my stepdad in that house on Hampton. But I have, like, just very flickers of when it was just me, my mom, and my sister.
All right. So what was school like for you? Were you getting on the bus? Were you driven to school?
I went on the bus, and the bus is a horrible place. My sons want to go on a bus so badly. I'm like, you don't understand the trials you have to go through on a public bus.
Like bullies?
Yeah, like people don't want to sit with you or share seats, and lots of power struggles on bus seats. School was...
Did you ride with your sister, though? Would she help you out?
She was just old enough from me that we didn't ever go to school together.
Okay.
But my teachers were great for the most part. As I did, there was one I really didn't like, but that's okay. She was just very stern.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her weird questions like, why did you wear your pants up so high? And she's like, that's where my hips are. And I'm like, that makes sense. As like a little like 10-year-old.
Yeah.
As, you know, you go through elementary school, and then my brother entered school.
I'm still laughing. Go ahead.
I was both so shy and oddly bold at times, mm-hmm. bold at all of the wrong moments.
Mm-hmm.
So all my siblings, I guess, are like 4 years apart. So my sister's 4 years older, my brother's 4 years younger, youngest 8 years younger.
Did you guys do cafeteria or did you have to do bag lunch and be totally embarrassed?
I wanted a bag lunch so bad. They always looked so good. But we always ate cafeteria lunch. It was fine.
Okay. Yes. Any funny cafeteria memories?
We were talking on the table, not on the table, but at the table. And you know, when you're just talking, you just do weird stuff with your straw. I wasn't the one doing it, but I was privy to it. And this boy was like chewing on it, and then he like rubbed it in his nose and like put it in his nose. And the cafeteria lady was like, I see everything. Get that straw out of your nose. And like, he was like, what? Ew. Like, was so disgusted that he didn't even like realize he had done it. And that stuck with me.
Yeah. That is funny. Shout out to Straw Booger Boy.
Yes. Whoever you are.
Whoever you are. It's your legacy. I never was allowed to eat in the cafeteria I was homeschooled for a little bit. But when I was younger, before we moved, I went to the cafeteria. I just remember Sloppy Joe's being like terrifying. Oh. I don't know.
Was that a common theme in your lunches?
Did you ever have a Sloppy Joe?
They served it. I never opted in for that lunch.
Yeah.
Like anything other than that, please.
Yeah. funny. All right. Do you have any memories of being a kid, and did you get like special awards? I feel like at that young age, they're always trying to award everybody. I don't know. Were you in little plays? What did you do growing up?
From first to like fourth, I can't really remember. Fifth grade, I was in one play. It was about clowns and like trying to be funny. And I had one line. And yeah, it was fun.
Were you dressed up? Did you have big shoes?
I didn't have big shoes. I did have orange. I had an orange wig. And I had one line and I walked off stage and then I danced for the rest of the numbers. And it was really cool. I have to like go and look up this play. But it was like an after school program thing.
Do your kids know you did that?
They don't, but they'd probably really want to hear more about that.
That's fun. So when you would leave early in the morning, did you stay? You said after school. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share about that time? Did you guys have animals? Like, what did you do when you got home?
Normally, I stayed after school because my mom would get home pretty late from work. And then my dad, also being a contractor, got really home late from work just every single day. So we were always just kind of put into programs or doing stuff. So whether that be like a school activity or you get shuttled to like a really cool daycare of sorts. So that's happened a few times. And then in fifth grade and like up, it's like, okay, she could be sent home with like a key and like let herself in and kind of like relax and chill and immediately eat like 5 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and watch TV.
Sounds awesome.
Yes.
What was your personality like?
Very bipolar is not the right word. However, I will say that because to my family, I was very quiet. Like my cousins thought I was mute because I never talked.
Okay.
Like for years, they're just like, we just thought something was wrong with you. I was like, oh, this is not unusual. This is news to me. And then at other times, like during school.
That's like more than quiet then.
I guess I just didn't speak. And then at school, if there was like a field day and there's music being played, I'm like, do you want me to sing on the speakers? I didn't know the words to the song. They're like, no, go sit down. I'm like, okay. offered like things like that. So it's just it was a different time of like, okay, I'm very like loud and outgoing. And then like years passed, things happened and got very, very, very quiet and reserved.
What were you interested in? Did you like to read, watch TV?
Definitely watched a lot of TV. didn't read a lot until high school. School was actually very like difficult for me. Repeated like the first grade twice. But I got it towards the end. I really liked just anything like physical, like PE was a lot of fun.
Okay.
High school, I was into a lot of clubs, staying out of the house.
Okay, we'll get to that soon. Sounds interesting. We got to circle back to your siblings. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hang out with them? Were you guys close? Not really.
I was never close to my eldest sister at all. And we have different fathers. And I think for a long time, that just made like a rift between us. Like my father would go and like take me out places and she didn't really know hers. And she just, I think, had a lot of anger and just kind of like pulled away. And when you're like 4 years older, you don't want to hang out with like your younger siblings anymore. So I never really knew my sister, as crazy as that sounds, even though we lived together the entire childhood. Closer with my younger brother and younger sisters. Had a lot of fun with my brother just like growing up. And him just being very goofy and silly.
Was he goofy?
Very, very goofy, very silly, very strong.
What would you guys do? Give me an example.
We played a lot of imaginary games. mermaid and like fisherman.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, is this the thing where you're like, I'm the queen and you're my servant, man?
No, it's more like, try to catch me, I'm a mermaid. And cowboys and robbers and... it's all for us to sound like sit on my brother and I would ride him like a horse, but he loved it and I loved it. But I have all these like memories of like us giving each other like piggyback rides or like going outside and playing and things like that.
That's fun. You guys still talk?
A little less now. He's older. He's in the military doing some really cool secret stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's busy on the other side of the world.
Hush, hush. And then not so much your other sisters?
Oh, my youngest sister?
Mm-hmm.
I was 8 years older than her, so when I was, like, in high school, she was still, like,
that's significant.
A baby, yeah. Not a baby, but in elementary school. And I believe all high schoolers kind of jerks. They just are. I am not exempt. And I didn't want to, like, really, like, hang around. And our family life wasn't one of such, like, let's hang out. Like, let's play board games. Like, let's do these things together. That just didn't happen. It wasn't fostered. So we just kind of, like, as soon as we got all old enough, we kind of just did our own things.
Yeah. You said your cousins would describe you as quiet. Do you think all your siblings and your mom and stepdad would say the same thing about you?
My bio dad wouldn't say I was quiet. I think my mom probably thought I was very reserved. As for my siblings, I don't really know what they think about me. I really don't. That's a tricky one.
Share, if you don't mind, what it was like to go back to your dad's every other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to go? Were you excited? Or was it just routine?
I really liked going. My dad, it was just me and my dad and my stepmom. So I had all the attention. He would take me to Chuck E. Cheese or the park every weekend. Or there was always something fun to do or something to look forward to, or taking me out to restaurants. Like, that was a pastime that I loved doing. And I get to order my own dessert. Because, you know, when you're like a family of five or six, you know, you can't order everybody a dessert. You have to share one and fight for it.
Yep.
Or no dessert. So it was just something I definitely looked forward to.
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up? Why are you laughing?
Because this has not aged well. I wanted to be a pastor.
Okay.
Yeah, or a comedian.
Okay.
And then as I got older, like a model or an actress. And that one kind of stuck with me for a long time.
Okay, now you're going to have to walk through your inspiration for all of those.
Oh, no. I wanted to be a comedian because I'd only host these puppet shows at my biological dad's house. And he would laugh pretty hard. So I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would say I was. And I was like, oh, I like making people laugh. And that's awesome. So I was like, this could be a job when I discovered that. And then I always grew up in church and I really admired my pastor. And I was like, I could do that. And, you know, be cool. I'm actually like shaking right now talking. Oh. Sorry.
You're doing great.
And then a model is, I don't know if you ever heard the show America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it religiously.
Yeah.
And would practice my walk and my turns and really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's just silly things.
You're bringing back, I watched maybe a season in my life, Project Runway, a lot.
Oh,
that was the same time.
Yeah.
I think
that was really big.
Yes. Well, I forgot. Tim Gunn. Oh, I could hear him in my head right now. Ryan does the, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no.
The accent, the hair designers or whatever he says, you know?
Yes.
Anyway.
Make it work, designers.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Man, fashion, those were like some serious shows. I don't know if they still are big to this day because What Not to Wear.
Oh, yeah.
There was another, I don't remember, back when I watched TV too. Let's see. So the puppets. Let's go back to the puppets. Would you make your own puppets? Socks?
Well, oh, no. I got a kit like for Christmas with all like the different animals. But that could be fun to do now.
Mm-hmm.
With the kits.
Totally. Puppets are great. Let's talk about as you got older. Did you develop friendships at school?
I didn't have many friends. But I like each year, each couple of years, just like had one or two. And they were just very strong. Growing up in elementary school, there was a girl named Janelle who lived not too far from us, and I could like walk to her house, and she was just a very, very just sweet friend. Stayed friends with her all throughout her life.
That sounds very sad.
Oh.
Did she pass away?
She did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. She had lung cancer, and she was battling with it just all her life. Yeah, but I'm glad that, I don't know, I feel like it's not normal to have friends up until, like, you're six, till you're 22.
What would you guys like to do together? Did she bring out your silly side?
She definitely did. She made doll clothes, and she could sew, and she was very passionate about that. And that's probably why I wanted to be a model, because she's like, okay, you could be the model and I'll make the clothes. I'm like, yes, this sounds like so much fun. We played all types of games and just ran around outside. And
okay, so as you're moving into high school, who is Deanna now?
A jerk. Deanna in high school was well-behaved and very attention-seeking from the opposite sex, and tried really, really, really hard in school, but didn't do amazing, but tried really hard.
Mm.
Yes. And had like my little crew of friends that we just ran around with.
If I'm thinking of a high school movie, like which group would you be?
I didn't actually fit into anything great. I just kind of like drifted from whoever to whatever. I was in the IB program, which is like a fast track program for college. So if you just imagine like, okay, you have your general school set and then you have the IB kids and it's like maybe 100 students, probably less than that per sect. And you only had classes with those same like 80 students or whatever.
Is that something you applied for?
Yes, in okay. middle school. I didn't want to. I was voluntold to because you wanna go to college, fast track it.
So what you wanted to be didn't sound like that fits into a college mold. A comedian, a model, a pastor. So what were you thinking? Did your parents say you're gonna do this? You're gonna study this? Or it was just college in general?
It was college in general. My parents, none of them went to college, and it was like, you will go to college. I'm like, but I don't know what I want to go to college for. And they're like, you'll figure it out. I'm like, guys, I've been thinking about it for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And just never figured it out. It's so silly because they were, you know how you give these like aptitude tests?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, let's see what you'd be good at. They were all kind of inconclusive. Or they'd say like, you want to work outside or like have something where you could walk around. I'm like, this does not bode well for college. I don't know what to do. But I went because I did not want to stay at home anymore.
What about your older sister? Did she go?
She went into the Air Force. And so if you go into the Air Force, they'll pay for your college. So she kind of like did that, but I didn't hear of her experiences so much. But on the flip side of that, my biological dad had two daughters mm-hmm. who are older than me. And I'm very close with especially one of them. And she actually went to VCU.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I got to visit her. She moved to Virginia her last like year of high school. So I got to like have my sister every other weekend for like her last year of high school. And then she went off to college.
Sweet. What's her name?
Her name is Nikia, but I always just call her Kia. So it feels weird saying her whole name.
Alrighty. You're taking this fast track courses. I have no idea what those would be like. What makes them different than normal classes, I guess?
So pretty much, so high school classes, they could be the credits you need. You need X amount of credits to graduate high school, but those credits could be folded over into college credits. So you're kind of taking like a college level class in high school.
So you must have been doing something right, if you could do that.
Well, this is the thing, though. At the end of like your 4 years, you take this very big test okay. of all the subjects. And then it pretty much says like, yes, you did it, or no, you didn't. And your points, your college courses points would be deducted accordingly.
Oh, okay.
So people who passed, like my lovely husband, he passed and like got all of his college credits. So he was like already like in year two of college when he started.
Oh, okay.
And I did not manage to do well on my test. But I think I got like one maybe extra credit. So,
yeah. I do not like tests.
Same.
I don't know. I'm either, I feel like you get the really obscure questions, or you just get like something that you're going to forget. I don't know. You know?
Yes.
I don't know. Anyways.
I remember English tests like that, like the reading ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. I remember the story, but then the questions would be like, which way did the bird fly? I was like, I don't know. I just knew what the bird's name was. Is that not good enough?
So you said you started reading in high school. Is that for fun or in class? Did any teachers grab your attention in particular for learning?
I had two English teachers that really, they were just lovely people and tried to give us like interesting subject matters to like write about or to read about or to watch movies. Mm-hmm. This, like my freshman year, her name is Miss T. And we watched several like movie classics and got to like write about it. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've never watched a movie just to write something about a movie before. And that was like really entertaining and fun. And then Miss Menzel, I got pretty close with her, which is my junior in high school English teacher. I actually mm-hmm. babysat her kids. So she trusted me enough to like go watch her kids for her. And she was just, I don't know, just taught me a lot of life skills. And she was so confident. And I think it was like, okay, like I'd like to be more like her. Mm. Yeah.
Do you ever think if I could go back and talk to my teachers now? Sometimes I do think that about my high school teachers, certain ones, I'm like, they're so smart or they were so, I don't know. To me, in my mind, they weren't like actual real people.
Yeah, I would like to show her like I'm okay. Mm. I think she was kind of worried about me. I was very just like a people pleaser. Like, didn't like confrontation, like, didn't have a clear direction for my life, clearly. And at least it's, like, if you're plucky, like, no one can pick on you. So I think she kind of was concerned. But now I just, like, look, like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was babysitting your first job? What did you do for work ever?
So when I was babysitting her, that was actually my second job. I used to work at Food Lion for my last 2 years of high school as a cashier.
Is that fun?
Honestly, I'm disappointed in myself that I picked it. I was like, I could have worked at a movie theater or a bowling alley, but it was so close to home that like I could drive, be there under like 5 minutes.
Seems like a fast-paced job. Like you couldn't really get too bored, right?
Yeah. It was, everyone goes to the grocery store. So like you just see a lot of different types of people. Odd things happen, human interactions, people asking you out. I'm like, I am a child. But I guess I just look like an adult working at a regular job. Mm-hmm. So it was a funny time.
So what made you get a job? Did you want to just have your own money?
I did. And I was fine not working, but I had a car and I needed gas money. And I was like, if you want gas money, you're going to have to work for it. And I was like, noted. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got my first job. And it was fun. Like, it was nice having something to do and you're good at it. And I was but a child and just learning a lot of life skills for the first time.
Would you work before school or after?
Only on the weekends. Yeah.
And then you babysat. Anything else?
Babysat. And that's about it. Growing up, I always watched my younger siblings. So it was kind of nice, like, watching other people's kids for money and yeah. Like, putting them to bed at, like, 7:30 and, like, getting to hang out and, like, watch movies. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I had my car, I was just gone.
What did you drive? Can you remember?
It was, like, I don't know the year, but it was, like, a tiny little Kia and, like, the paint was peeling and eventually it died and I have my little, I had a golden Honda Civic. Ooh. Affectionately nicknamed Tink Tink. And I had that car up until like, you know, I got married.
So yeah.
It was a noble little car.
So you had a car all of your own? I'm impressed.
Yeah. So when you have two sets of parents, things just get afforded to you. So my dad couldn't be there, but he always like, I'm going to buy Deanna a car or her cell phone or if I needed dresses or, you know, money to do things. Or my mom would ask him to give those things to me, so.
Were you, what's the word? Oh, everybody's chauffeur, I guess.
Yes. It wasn't too bad. Like, I was my brother's chauffeur all throughout his, high school. When I was a senior, he was a freshman. So he just rode with me to school every single day because I just drove myself. Or I'd have to pick him up from, like, band practice. So I was just at school all the time.
Did you ever do band?
No.
Why not?
I don't know how to play, like, any instruments, but I did play tennis for a year. So, you know, in tennis, like, you have, like, your top four players that play, and you have, like, everyone else. Mm-hmm. I was a part of that everyone else group that, like, played, like, on a far field when everyone else was, like, competing.
Yeah.
It was fun. I really liked the teacher who coached it. She was one of my science teachers. She was a really cool lady as well.
Do you ever get into pickleball? Play that?
I didn't know what pickleball was until recently.
Oh, yeah, recently. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but I'd be curious to try.
I hear it's fun. I've never played either.
Got to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Good weather's coming. Okay. Did you feel pretty independent at that point? Or I never asked, did your parents have a lot of rules for you?
I didn't have a lot of rules. I had a lot of expectations. So, like, I'm thinking now, like, in high school, my mom pretty much made me, like, the manager of our home. I wasn't, like, paying bills or anything.
But at this point, she's working during the day.
Yeah, she's working during the day. Okay. And coming home, like, at 5. And my siblings are, my brother's a freshman. My other sister's in middle school. So we're all old enough. And I was pretty much put in charge of, like, anything that has to be cleaned, you must clean it. Yeah. So I didn't, it's not like there was like terribly, like things I could not do. Like I could stay out till like 11, mm-hmm. so long as all these things were accomplished first. And that was just the expectation.
Gotcha. You don't seem like that's a fond memory.
It's not, because I don't know why this happened this way, but all my siblings at this point were like old enough to do their chores. And if they didn't, because they're children, and I get it, like, you're going to try to get away with not washing the dishes or cleaning the bathroom. I was made to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's just very unfair. And it's like the opportunity to get bitter at your siblings for not just taking responsibility. And then at my mom for like putting that on me. And then like dad for not saying anything.
So did your friendship with your brother change at this point?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a lot of young men think like they do so much for the house. I'm like, you don't do a lot. Mm-hmm. And just getting upset with him. And it's like, I don't know. From growing up and talking with my parents every once in a while, they said like, yeah, your siblings were always like jealous of you. And I'm like, why? I think it's because I would go and have these fun adventures with my dad, or he'd buy me a car. Like no one else had a car, you know, or had a cell phone at an early age, but no one else had a cell phone. So these things just always kind of caused like contention with us. And it's just, I think it's just easy to be immature when you're a child.
100%. So were you ever like bringing your friends home at this point, or was your life, you tried to live it mostly outside your house?
Living it almost exclusively outside of my house, because if I'm not home, no one can tell me to like scrub the floor before I have to go. It's just, it was hard. I was like chronically late. I mean, I am a late person in general. But it's like, okay, do the dishes before you go. It's like, but I have a thing. It's like, it doesn't matter. Do the dishes before you go. And it's like, okay. And so if I just was always out, it's like, okay, you can't tell me to do anything if I'm not there. So I'm just going to constantly stay out.
Yeah. When did you get out for good?
When I went to college. And it worked out extremely well because my sister Kia went to VCU, finished in 3 years. So she was moving out of her like rental room. And then I got to move in into her room.
Okay.
And it was just like a very seamless transition.
Where was this?
It was in Randolph. Yeah. It's still there. I wonder if those blue couches are still there, because I just left them.
Funny.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see.
What are your memories of college?
I was very lonely. I didn't know anybody else who went to VCU who was a previous friend. And then making friends was just very difficult. I don't know why. I managed to make one friend. He was very funny. He was a gay man, and we hung out a lot. And as I like got older, it's like, okay, Lord, like if you don't want me to be like friends with him, like in this way, just because it's like I'm treating him like a woman, and I don't have categories for this stuff yet. He actually like got accepted to like a New York fashion program and like ended up leaving, and it's like now I have no friends, Lord. Josh and I are dating at the time, but you know, he had his own thing, his own friends. He was really like experiencing like high depths of like freedom for the first time. But yeah, I didn't make a lot of friends in college. I had my roommates who were like much older than me, who were like a source of like comfort and just like auntie vibes. But yeah.
Didn't I hear somewhere you met Josh way before college?
Yes. So technically, we met in first grade, but okay. We did not know. 4 years later, and then we started dating the last 3 days of high school because we went to the same high school together. And we both happened to go to VCU, so it was just very providential.
It's almost like someone going off to war or whatever, like, we got to get married quick. It was just funny to be like, 3 days left of high school. We've got to you got to seal this deal.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was not trying to date anyone in high school because I tried it and it didn't work out, and that's okay. But it was so funny. He actually lives down the street from me. So my mother-in-law lived 5 minutes from the house that I grew up in. Yeah.
Gosh, wow, that's wild.
We probably passed each other so many times and didn't even recognize it.
Wow. So Deanna, let's, if you don't mind, go back as far as you want to go back and share what was your relationship to Jesus, like however you want to trace that.
I started my relationship with Jesus at a very young age. My parents are/were Christians, so we did go to church every single Sunday. But it wasn't like something that you invite people into your house and you like make deep friendships. But yeah, so just grew up going to church, like hearing about him, got baptized. I don't, like looking back on it now, I didn't have a very clear idea of who the Lord was. And I went to a very like Pentecostal charismatic church.
Okay, I was going to ask what kind of church.
And it really, like, based off of, like, the spirit and, like, feelings and, like, spiritual giftings. And I could speak in tongues, and I thought that was a gift from God. And I felt so very special. And that was just normal in my church for people to speak in tongues. And so my relationship just kind of, like, waxed and waned depending on like what was happening in my life and if I thought that he was like with me.
So would this be a church that your mom would take you to or that your dad would take you to?
My biological mom and my stepdad. Okay. So they went together. They took all the kids. We went every single Sunday.
Okay. And so what was faith like in your home growing up, or was that outside of the home too?
It was, from my understanding and my memory, like outside of the home, but we'd pray before meals, we'd be thankful. It was, you will honor your mother and your father. So like those things were taught, but it's not like we ever like read the Bible together as a family. Or it didn't seem to have like a real weight in our life as a family.
Okay.
Perhaps my parents think of it differently, but from me looking in, that's what I remember.
Well, we'll just go with the big question. Was there a significant turning point in your life? You could bring up one thing or several things.
Like, what type of turning point, I guess?
You get to take it wherever you want to go.
Well, I will say the biggest turning point was coming to Remnant.
What age were you then?
Ooh, how old was I? 20? 19? Josh was going to Remnant longer before I joined in. And I just was confronted with lots of people who wanted to know about me, which is very strange to me in that moment. So I probably came off as like guarded, but then I kept coming and I kept coming and going to community group with you guys and Joshua. That's like the biggest like positive turning point in my life. Yeah.
Is there a story you like to tell about your relationship early on? Who is early Josh and Deanna?
Oh, who is
So Ava, I said, hey, because I asked her, because I was trying to remember when I met you, and I was like, I think I was pregnant. And she's like, no, she thought that I maybe had Oliver. I can't remember. But she did say she remembered a rainy day and you and Josh walking into community group. And she said, Deanna had flowers in her hair. And Ava must have been super little, obviously. But she remembers that, and she said, Deanna had flowers in her hair. They were so pretty. So in her little tiny mind, you know, I just thought it was sweet.
That is so sweet. Oh, and I was like super distracted by Ava. By what Ava said.
I was totally shocked that that was the memory that she pulled out.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Rainy day.
Yeah. I did wear a lot of stuff in my hair, and I still kind of do. Yeah.
You were married with flowers in your hair, right? Weren't you?
Not flowers. I had pearls.
Pearls. Okay, pearls.
Yeah.
And something.
Yeah, those were my grandmother's, and that was really special what she gave me.
Josh, Indiana, early Josh, Indiana.
Early Josh, Indiana. I feel like I was very quiet at Remnant. Like, I remember, like, not ever speaking in group. just really trying to, like, take it in, and, like, Josh was the exact opposite. And, like, very boisterous and, like, wants to get into all the conversations and has already made, like, so many friends. And,
Do you remember why you wanted to date him? Did you think he was cute?
Well, yes, but it was funny. We actually, so jumping back to high school, went to the beach with a few friends, and he came along. And I picked him up. I think I weirded him out.
Okay.
Because I was like, do you want me to pick you up from your house? I know where you live. And I only knew that because our bus would kind of like pass by a different bus stop and I would see him. Mm-hmm. So like, I know you live in this area. And he was like, oh, and I'm like, no. Like, I'm not my bus. I see where you are roughly. So I picked him up, had a good time at the beach with a few friends. And somehow like relationships got brought into the mix. And Joshua said, I think the Lord is telling me just to like wait, like not to worry about dating right now, just to like go to college and like just focus on my studies. And that had like perplexed me because I've always wanted to like hear what God had to say. I was like, so on our way back home driving, I asked him, how do you know that God like said that? Did you hear it as a voice? Did you feel it in your spirit? And he was trying to explain it to me. And I was just wasn't even thinking about Josh as like a romantic partner or anything at that point, but it was just like, oh, so people can talk to Christ. Mm. And it seemed very like ordinary for him and not like crazy, like divine or special. And I wanted to know more how to do that.
Do you remember the first time that he ever prayed with you? Is that a memory you have?
Oh, no, I actually don't know the very first time we like prayed together. But trying to see if we liked each other, Joshua was very like straight lace. Like he'd give me handshakes, like not hugs. He's like, okay, that was a good date. Handshake. I'm like, oh, this is very different than other men in high school, you know, mm-hmm. the you're experiencing. And I remember the day I told him that I liked him and I was like, I'm gonna vomit because I didn't want to say it. He was like, oh, you do? And I'm like, yeah. So that was a very sweet time.
Did you ever hang out with his family after that?
Yes. When we had started to date and we got introduced, I got introduced to his family. They were very kind. He has an older brother who's incredibly funny, who was in college at this point, but coming back for summers. And a very strong father and a very kind mother. And I was at their house all the time. They invited me over to dinner, and it was very nerve-wracking.
Okay.
Because I've never...
Was everybody shaking your hand?
No, everyone's not shaking my hand, but I just never got invited to, like, dinner at someone's house before. Maybe as a family, we'd go to, like, an aunt's house for dinner.
But, okay.
Like, oh, someone wants to, like, get to know me and, like, eat dinner with me. And they kept inviting me out. And Tess, which is my brother-in-law's girlfriend, who is now his wife, and I just suddenly just had like a whole new like miniature family in my life. Yeah. That's like really that was also a big turning point as well. It's like, okay. Oh, I'm getting a picture of what like healthy, normal family life looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is obviously in Hampton too. Did he ever take you to church with him there or just at VCU?
No, our first date was actually going to his church.
Oh, okay.
Yes. he played, I can't remember if it was the bass or the drums, but he was in the band. And it was just really cool.
What was that like?
He was like a celebrity. Like, everyone knew who he was, and he had lots of friends. And the pastor came up and, like, talked to me and introduced himself. And it was just so very different than, like, what I was used to. Because we kind of, like, go to church. And it's like, okay, hey, and slip out. And we didn't really, like, weren't on a service team or anything. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, like, you practice, like, every Monday. And their church service was held on Saturdays, I believe. And then, like, you come and you get up early and you practice again. Like, as a teenage boy, like, that just, that responsibility. And his family didn't go with him to that church. So it was just Joshua.
Oh, wow.
So they were going to a different church.
That's a story.
Yeah. And that's also where he met Kyle. So they were like doing those things together.
Which Kyle?
Kyle Archuleta.
Okay.
Yes.
Was it like a big deal that you were dating, or when you moved to VCU, were you like, I don't care if I really keep in this relationship, or did you like him?
I liked him a lot. I told him if he wasn't going to VCU, like I would have just broken up with him. Mm-hmm. But we both ended up going, and that just, I had at least one person that like I knew who loved me there. So that was special.
Or did you end up studying?
I was undeclared.
Okay. Which is fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah,
I mean,
the entire time. I originally thought I was going to go into medicine. And that was like, okay, I'll just become a nurse like my mom. And mm-hmm. like, I'll just take the prerequisites for that, which is pretty common, chemistry, English, whatever. And slowly and quickly discovered that I have no natural aptitude for biology, chemistry, or blood. Like, and I was like, this is not for you. And then I kind of opted out of that. And I was like, well, maybe I could like go into acting, and then just stopped going to school altogether because I ran out of prerequisites to take.
Okay.
And my dad was paying for my college, and I did not want to like burden him with just me trying to find myself through classes I was not even excited to take. Yeah.
I think when I met you, you were trying to do modeling. You were trying to pursue that in some fashion, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I went to AMTC, was his Actors, Models, and Talent for Christ, like completed a program, went to like their scouting agencies, did not get scouted. However, met a man who lived and worked in Richmond who had an agency, and he gave me the agency's number and just said like, hey, I'm your reference. You should go and test it out. And I got in, and I was like assigned to like a little agency for a tiny bit.
Fun.
Yeah.
Did you do anything?
I did three commercials, two of which I don't think were ever published, but it was like...
Could you still recite your lines?
I had no lines.
Oh. Whatever you were doing, did you have to look really happy?
I did have to look super happy. I was in the 20... Oh, gosh. What year is this? 15 or 14th Virginia lottery commercial. And you saw me for like maybe 2 seconds. And it was shot in King's Dominion. And it was like so cool. That was like my first big role.
Fun.
My role is not major, but it was a more major role than I thought. Because mm-hmm. like the main person was like winning all this stuff and I was supposed to be his girlfriend. They're like, you've been upgraded. I'm like, oh, wow. So we just want you to jump and clap and be excited when he passes you the teddy bear. So I like jumped and clapped for like 45 minutes. And it was amazing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then I did something for like Choice Hotels, which never got published, but it was fun. It was like pretending to be like a girls' soccer coach. So just running around, and I can't play soccer, but it was fine.
Yeah. Did you get to pretend like you were blowing the whistle?
No, there was no whistle, but it was fun. It was just so fun shooting, and like the snack tables that you see on TV are real. Mm. And I thought it was a joke, and I'm like, oh, this is real. And I want to continue to stay.
That would be my favorite.
In the business, yeah. And because I got upgraded, there was like an okay snack table and then like the mega snack table. Mm-hmm. Like, you may eat from this one. I'm like, oh, all the chocolate.
Yeah. That was just so interesting that you said you stopped going to college, but nobody, it was fine. I mean, no big deal.
Well, there were certain conversations of like, no, you need to stay. It's like, there's no point in me staying, guys, and like spending money. And my dad was fine with it because he was the one paying the bills. Mm-hmm. My mom was a little less fine because she didn't want me to miss the opportunity.
Sure.
But yeah. I could not push myself to do something that I just vehemently just could not. Like, if I muscled through it, I'm sure I could have become a nurse, but it would have been so painful. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that for my life. And I sound like a Disney character.
What do you mean?
They're like, I don't want this, mom. I don't want to be what you, like the stereotypical, like, I don't want to do what you did, mom. It's like, it's not that. If I had been okay with chemistry, I probably would have done it. But then the Lord was telling me, no, mm-hmm. hard stop. This is, you are not built for this. Mm-hmm. I had to be okay with disappointing people.
Is that ever something you think about, going back to school?
It's not something that I want to do, but I do struggle with, like, wow, there's lots of intelligent women who have gone to school and got a degree, and I have not done that. And I think sometimes I can believe that that disqualifies me from some things.
Mm-hmm. Do you know I never finished my master's? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So it was a 3-year program. I only did 2 years of it. So I walked away from school too. And yeah, I think about it every now and then, but only think about it long enough to be like, no. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a point in my life too, where I was really wrestling down the idea of, like, titles don't define you.
Yeah.
And so it was like an easier decision to make. I don't even think about it now. But I still love to learn at my own pace. Get to choose my own books.
Yes.
But yeah. Okay. So back to the big paintbrush questions. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you have any obstacles that you had to overcome in your life? Very big question.
The one that I'm currently battling, the biggest obstacle is, like, really knowing and understanding, like, who God is and his character and his love for me.
Okay.
And I just think from growing up, just having just really dark things, like, happen to me when, and I'll just briefly drive by exposition, like, being molested as, like, a child and, like, for years and no one knowing. And then it's like, okay. And then that coming to light, and that was, like, really difficult because I couldn't, like, see my dad. And I'm like, well, Lord, that's not a thing that I wanted to happen, even though, like, I'm glad this other thing stopped. And then on top of that, like, okay, I could speak in tongues as a child, and then that went away. And it's like, no, Lord, like, that's how I knew that you loved me and you made me special. And then just kind of, like, tracking through my whole, like, just holding on to things that weren't meant to be held on to for comfort. And it's like, Lord, why'd you take this away? Lord, why'd you do this instead? Why? I'm struggling with this because no one ever answered my questions as a child, or when I did seek out people, like, of the church, like, to help me with something, they didn't. So mm-hmm. It's like, Lord, like, were you, like, did you care? Like, were you there?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I was hanging on to that so much until very recently.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll put the disclaimer. I'm working through this. This is very raw. I'm not on the other side of this yet. But I'm excited to be walking in this new phase of promised goodness that I can experience.
Yeah. Are there things on the other side? Is it hard to look back and appreciate anything in your past? Or is it too difficult right now?
It was too difficult for a time. And I didn't realize it was until I started listening to your podcast.
Okay.
And it...
You kind of didn't like it, right?
No.
Which is fine.
I was not the first person to tell you I'm really upset about this podcast.
You weren't the only one.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad. It wasn't the fact that I didn't like it. It poked so many nerves I didn't know were there.
Mm.
And instead of being happy for my sisters in Christ, of them having, like, rich childhoods or strong fathers or mothers with strong relationships, it's like, oh, I'm angry, like, yeah, at God that I didn't have those things. And I didn't realize how bad it was. So the podcast is already doing so much. And I had to just really reconcile, like, those things and, like pray and talk to Josh and other people. And, like, Lord, like, that wasn't my story. And, like, it needs to be okay. Like, I can't go back and do anything about it. Like, I was a child or I was a teen. I didn't know you. I didn't have these things. But it doesn't disqualify me from, like, knowing him now truly.
Sure.
And I think the past can give you an anchor to, like, this is why I can't move forward, or this is why I struggle with this way, or, but I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I just really want to, like, step and, like, know, like, God's, like, love for me, and, like, to be able to look at my story and see, like, yeah, it was dry as a desert. There wasn't a lot of riches there. There was darkness there, but he was there. So I've been praying a lot just to see, like, those streams of water.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that because I was so bitter. And when you're bitter, you just can't see anything that's actually good there. But yeah. Now after like weeks and listening to the podcast and praying and wrestling and confessing, it's like, oh Lord, even if I don't see the full picture, you were there and you gave me these very like things that I, as my a human, can see, like this friend, this animal, this teacher, this, you know, whatever it was that just got me through that year or that season that was so small, but like meant so much to me. And it's like, oh, that was a gift. Like that was meant to like keep me going.
Thanks for sharing, Deanna.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you think that you might want to share about your past before we close out the episode?
I know I was luckier than most, and I don't think I could say that confidently. Even though I had something bad happen to me and a mother who couldn't process it with me or help me or talk with me through it, like I'm not mentally like disturbed. I'm healthy. I'm in a marriage. I'm not confused of my gender or who I am as like Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
And I know so many stories of like things happening and people just struggling with the rest of their lives of like their identity or their shame or the relationships that they can and can't keep. And I'm very, very thankful that it's like, Lord, like it wasn't by my strength, like it was by your strength that I was even able to like walk this out and be like a whole healthy human being after even not the darkest stuff, but just even having like a very dry like home life. And I get to like step into and like provide better. And that really used to scare me a lot. Because it's like, okay, Lord, you're asking me to provide steak. And I only ever grew up on crackers. Mm. How do I provide a steak for my family, for my community? Like, what do I do? And I'm realizing more and more, it's like, I just need you to know that you are loved. And like, rest in me. And like, I will provide the steak. Mm. Like, it's not up to me to like figure it out like all the way. And that is more than good enough.
Yeah. So we're going to talk some more in your next episode. I'm going to leave this one here. But before we get to that episode, let's close this one out. And, well, I guess fun part about this section is that we get to just appreciate not God's work in our past, but God's work in our present. And is there someone in your life right now, a sister in your church family that has blessed you, that has just shown you Christ in a way that has impacted you? And if you would share her and how she's shown Christ to you, and then pray for her and close out the podcast.
Sure. Laura's being very kind and she's letting me break the rules. I will just read what I wrote.
Go for it.
So I'm not sure how to single out one lady since I've been affected by so many ladies at Remnant, and it feels weird just to target one. So I'm going to say some names and things that I've noticed about each one. And it's not going to be a super huge list, but these are just some people that I wanted to shout out. Laura is one of the most steadfast people I know. And Ashton showed me that women are designed to bring beauty and lavishness in the home. Cassie and Carolyn have known me at my youngest and have walked alongside me. And they're an example of what my friendships could be in terms of freedom. Marissa is wise and faithful, even in the midst of hard things. And Tamila is beautifully honest. These are just a few ladies, and there's so many more ladies that I could say something about. But as I open myself more to the gift that is God's people, I've been continuously touched and changed and encouraged and astonished at their stories and faithfulness. I hadn't realized till recently how much I've been shaped and touched by these women, and they're all flowers in this glorious bouquet that the Lord has made me a part of. Yeah, so thanks for letting me break the rules.
Hey, that was a big break. Would you pray us out?
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you for Laura. Thank you for Remnant. Thank you for you. You don't leave us where we are. And you give us your hands and your feet to learn from, to encourage, to teach from, and just to be known by one another. Lord, I pray for the ladies of Remnant. I pray for anyone listening to this podcast to know that you see them in the small things and in the big things. Lord, just I used to feel so alone and not seen, and as years gone by, I've just seen more and more how much you've lavished on me and how much true that is for everyone that I know at Remnant and these beautiful ladies. I pray that they would feel just such a huge dose of peace and love and encouragement and steadfastness as they go about their daily duties, and to know that they are giving people gold when they do so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for His glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and His faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to Him and grow where we're planted.